The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, the text that you've heard read already this morning. But I encourage you to turn to John 16, and I also want to encourage you to find Galatians chapter 5. We'll be looking at Galatians 5 at the end of our time together this morning. But we're going to be looking at John 16 and the promise that Jesus gave us in that text about the peace that comes from Him. We're going to be looking at some passages that precede that and that surround that as well. So we're going to be primarily just in the Gospel of John and then also in Galatians at chapter 5 at the end. So my question to you is in regards to how are you doing today? You know, we are in this series called God is in Control, and we've been looking at some elements about God's character, of who He is, what He offers to us, that we can be able to rest in the element and the truth that God is in control when it seems that everything else around us seems to be spinning out of control as the COVID numbers seem to be able to increase as well. Nevertheless, we learned a couple of weeks ago from Psalm 46 that we said God is our refuge and our strength, and so that our faith is rooted in that truth that God is a refuge. And because He's a refuge, the text says that God's a refuge and a strength. Therefore, we will not fear. Even if the mountains give way and fall into the heart of the sea, our faith is in the fact that God is our strength and our refuge. Last week, we looked at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29, how that our kingdom is an unshakable kingdom. And that even this kingdom of this world that we live in, our kingdom, which is a spiritual kingdom, is locked in. It's solid. It's unshakable. There's only two kingdoms, God's kingdom and the kingdom of this world, which is ruled by Satan. But the truth is, if we're in Christ, then we have an unshakable kingdom. And so we rest in that. Today, another promise that we can hold to, that hopefully you can be encouraged by today. Maybe affirm your faith, but also to be able to point others to the fact that maybe that they are wrestling and struggling. And that promise is that Jesus promises to give us peace if we are in Him. Around us, you may be thinking and wondering, how in the world is it possible that we could have peace when all the things that are going on around us? Are you worried? Are you filled with anxiety? Or do you know someone who's worried or filled with anxiety? Some of you may be wondering how it's possible to have peace when the world around us doesn't seem to be in peace. How is it possible for us to be at peace if it seems to be that COVID-19, if you get it, or you know someone who gets it, or God forbid, if someone passes away from that? How can you be at peace in a moment like that? There's a lot of elements and questions that we are wrestling with, and even people within our own congregation, people who maybe listen today that you're listening, say, how can I have peace knowing that I've just found out that my job might be in jeopardy? Then you may be even thinking, say, if this text promises peace, then why is things not at peace right now? Well, I believe this passage of Scripture can give us some clarity in regards to what Jesus is promising us in this moment. Because there's a vast difference between being at peace and things being peaceful. Jesus is not promising things will be peaceful. Let's make sure that we understand that in this passage this morning. Jesus is promising us that we could be in peace in Him, no matter what the circumstances that we are in. So I want to encourage you today from this passage of Scripture to hear what Jesus says to us. That no matter what happens to us today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 5 years from now, as long as that we are in Christ, regardless of the situations that are around us, we still can be in peace because of the promise that Jesus gives us. I want us to read this passage that's right here in John chapter 16. But I want to explain the context and the audience first that we understand to whom Jesus is speaking. This is in the context. You have to go all the way back to John chapter 13 to really understand the context. Jesus is actually in a very small setting. He has a very close-knit group, His disciples, His apostles, that He actually has brought together, that they are sharing the Passover, which is now what we participate and share, what we call the Lord's Supper. Jesus is sharing that with them, and He's teaching some things that they need to understand before He actually is crucified and He dies. And here at the end of chapter 16, before that He actually leaves and they go into the garden to be able to pray, Jesus is teaching these disciples and giving them a warning that they're about to go into some great difficulty. But He promises them the same truth that we're about to learn today. It's important that we understand the audience because the peace that He's promising are people who have a relationship with Him. That's the context. That's the audience. And now let's actually read the text. John 16, let's read verse 32 and verse 33. The hour is coming. Indeed, it has come. When you will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. Now, the hour that he's referring to is the fact that it was time for him at last to actually be crucified. He was going to be arrested. That's the hour that Jesus is referring to. And he's telling them that when this happens, they're going to be scattered. They're going to go all over the place because it's unlike what they were thinking it was going to be. Then the promise Jesus gives in verse 33. I have said these things to you that in me, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, in this one verse, there are three specific truths that Jesus gives us. But I'm going to couple these three and put it into two because the last two actually are connected together. So here's the first truth. We're going to put it there on your TV for you or your phone. I want you to see this. Number one, Jesus promises peace to those who are in him. This is not a generic peace that everybody in the world is going to be at peace. Jesus makes it very clear in this particular verse. He says, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. So Jesus is making it very clear that the peace is going to be in him. Now, I want you to understand something in this passage of scripture, that Jesus is not saying that to be in him guarantees your life to be peaceful. That's actually quite the contrary of what Jesus actually teaches in this passage of scripture. Jesus teaches that there's two things that can happen simultaneously in our lives, which is actually happening in our world right now, that we could be in peace and yet still have difficulty. Look at the text again and notice what it says in verse 33. In me, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. Jesus doesn't say you'll have peace if there isn't tribulation. Jesus is saying that you can have peace and in the world at the same time there can be tribulation. So how does that parallel in our context right now? That our world is in turmoil. Our world is in difficulty. Our world is turned upside down, if you will. It's literally, so Jesus is saying to us in this moment, for us, how it applies for us right now, March 29th, 2020, is that we can say if we're in Christ simultaneously, Jesus is not promising that this would not happen. He's not saying that we're not going to have difficulty. He's not saying that we're not going to have turmoil or difficulty. He's promising that these things can happen simultaneously. And even though there is tribulation or difficulty, you can still have peace. That's a promise Jesus gave us. He gave it to us 2,000 years ago, and that promise still stands today. So I want to encourage you today that if you are not filled with peace, I want you to hear the word of God today, that you can have it. So what does this mean here practically? So let's understand something that Jesus is teaching in the context. Because some of you may say, well, I'm at peace and I don't really have Christ. But I want to tell you that Jesus does tell us the world can give peace, but it's not the same kind of peace that Jesus gives. So let's look at this truth. The world does give peace, but not as Jesus gives it. Go back to John chapter 14 and look at verse 27. When Jesus is actually teaching his apostles and he's explaining to them in regards to the Holy Spirit coming, there's this truth that I want you to see, that the world does give peace, but not as Jesus gives it. Verse 27. We'll pop that point up there on the screen for you to have that, to take that down. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, but neither let them be afraid. Now, notice what Jesus says here. I'm giving you peace, not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Jesus is acknowledging that the world can give peace, not in the same way that he gives it. Because the world's peace is all tied to circumstances. The world's peace is tied to tangible things. Jesus is saying that the world's peace is something that may come and it may go. For example, some people may say, as long as my job is going good, I'm at peace. Some people may say, as long as my health is good, I'm at peace. Others may say, my marriage is going good, so I'm at peace. Or my kids are being obedient, so I'm at peace. Things are going okay, so you're at peace. So it's all tied to things that we have. But what happens when those things fall apart? If your peace is connected to something that's tangible that you can hold on to and it falls apart, that is not the peace that Jesus gives. Because Jesus is saying the world will give it to you, and actually all the media and everything that you hold on to and billboards and advertisements and everything that you see from the social media standpoint, everything that can promise you peace can just be temporary. Jesus is acknowledging it's going to give you peace. So I'm telling you today, if you say that you're at peace, at some point you will reach a point that you will not be at peace unless you have Christ. So Jesus is acknowledging that difference. But Jesus is telling us clearly that if we want to have peace, so what happens is those people who have peace that's hanging on to the world, when tribulation comes, that's when the true peace shows up. And that's the point that Jesus is trying to make in John 16. So for you and me, we need to understand that in this moment, there may be people who are struggling. They're filled with worry. They're filled with anxiety. And you and I should be able to be in peace because of Christ. Now, let's look at the second truth that I want you to understand. Not only is Jesus acknowledging that the world gives peace, but also Jesus is making it clear that the only ones who have peace, peace is only for those who are in Christ. So Jesus, look back at 16, John 16, verse 33. Jesus says, I've said these things to you that in me, you may have peace. Now, Jesus is not just saying it's not enough just to acknowledge his existence. It's not enough just to know that he existed as a person, his historical being, or even acknowledge that he's the Son of God. No, to be able to have peace, you have to be in Christ and Christ has to be in you. So you have to go all the way back to John chapter 1 to see this truth. So turn your Bible to John chapter 1, verse 12, because we need to make certain that if you're saying you want peace, then this is where it needs to begin. So you need to ask yourself the question right now, in this very moment, right where you are, where you're sitting. I want you to ask yourself the question, am I in Christ? Because if you're saying I don't have peace, then the first question you need to ask yourself, are you in Christ? Now, just because you don't have peace doesn't necessarily mean you don't have Christ. We're going to talk about that next. But it's very important that you understand, do you have Christ in you? John chapter 1, verse 12 and verse 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Just verse 12. John 1, 12, Jesus is saying, John is writing this and saying to us, that if we believed in him, which is Christ, then we get to become children of God. God makes us children of God. So then we become a part of the family of God, and now Christ is in us. We've believed in him. And so now we connect these truths from the beginning of John 1 all the way to end in John chapter 16. And Jesus is saying if we want to have peace, we have to be in him. We have to have believed in his name, which means we believe everything he says. We believe who he is. He claims to be God. He claims to be the Son of God. He claims to be the Savior. So we believe in those things. And because we believe that, we repent of sin. We place faith in Christ. And in that moment, then God comes to live inside of us. So we're now in Christ. So this promise of John 16:33 now is acceptable. It's available to those who place faith in him. So that's the first truth that we need to understand. How is it when God's in control that we could be at peace? The first thing is to be rooted in Christ. Now, let's ask the next question, though. Let's face the reality. Some of you may be listening this morning. You say, Pastor Byron, I have a relationship with Christ, but I am not at peace right now. I'm very unsettled. I'm disturbed. I'm worried. I'm anxious. First of all, let me just tell you that God's big enough to understand your struggles. God is not going to be looking down upon you with negative thoughts to say, why is that child worrying? You just simply need to acknowledge what he already knows. But I do want to point out something to you, though, is that it's possible for you to be in Christ and not have peace if you're not abiding in him. I want to point that out to you in the scripture. So here's the point I want to give to you. If you are in Jesus and you don't have peace, then there's a possibility that there's a lack of abiding in Jesus. Now, go to John chapter 15. Let me show this truth to you. And I'm going to connect the dots for you. Because we understand, keep the promise in mind. Jesus says in John 16, verse 33, in me you will have peace. Now, in John 15, just a chapter preceding this, Jesus has taught. Remember, it's the same teaching from John 13 all the way through John 16. It's one long teaching time that Jesus is actually giving his apostles. And in John chapter 15, Jesus makes it very clear that we have to be able to abide in him. So put it this way. You may be in him, but you have to abide in him. John 15, verse 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now you may say, Pastor, that says nothing about peace at all. Well, I want you to hang tight to this truth because I want to start bringing some dots and connect them together for you, because it is one long teaching that Jesus has given from 13 through 16, and I believe it all connects. Here's the thing. Jesus is saying in this passage of Scripture, if we want to bear fruit, we have to abide in Him. Now, let's understand what this means here in this passage, and then I want to connect the dots for you. Jesus says in verse 4, abide. Jesus is not giving a suggestion. Jesus is not just giving something that you might want to consider. This is actually in the aorist tense in the Greek, and it's an imperative, which means it's the strongest commanding language that Jesus is giving. It's like exclamation, 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 exclamation. He's telling them and telling us we need to abide in Him. If we want to be able to have fruit from our lives that's coming from Christ, then we have to abide in Him. Now, if you notice in verse 4, the word abide is used two other times. So look at the text again, because I want you to notice how Jesus actually uses it. Look at verse 4 again, and abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. There's the word again, and says, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, the point of that, Jesus is saying that the branch can't bear fruit unless it abides. Jesus then makes a comparison that we are just like the branch. We're not going to bear fruit unless we abide. Meaning, I'm going to get technical with you, this is in the Greek language a subjunctive, which means that the promise is conditional on the action of the person. The promise is to bear fruit, but it's conditional on the action of us. Jesus is saying, you can bear fruit if you abide. So Jesus is promising you and me that we can, if we can abide in Him, we can have fruit. Now you say, how does this connect then to what Jesus is teaching over in John chapter 16, verse 33, that in me, you can have peace? Well, this is where we need to make the connection in regards to something that's taught in Galatians chapter 5. So keep your finger here in John chapter 16 and then look at Galatians chapter 5, because I want you to now make the connection of what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying in John 16, let's kind of follow the logic in regards to what Jesus is saying. Follow the progression of thought. In John 16, Jesus is saying to us that we have a promise of peace. We have the promise of peace. And then in John 15, he says that we are to abide in Him. And actually in John 14, actually keep your finger there at Galatians 5. I want you to go back to John 14 because of the text I want you to see to help you to understand this connection. John 14, 25 through 27. So Jesus is promising us that we can have peace. He's promising that if we can abide in Him, we can have fruit. And the purpose or the way that that happens, or the means rather to make that happen, is in John chapter 14. In verse 25 through 27, Jesus said these words. He's promising what's going to be given to the apostles and to us when He left. These things I've spoken to you while I am still with you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus is making the promise that He's going to give the Holy Spirit when He leaves. So the promise is this. Now make the connection. Jesus is saying we can have peace, we can bear fruit, and the means for that is the Holy Spirit He puts in our lives. Now go to Galatians 5 and let's see what He's talking about. Paul here is talking in Galatians chapter 5. You say, how is it that I can have peace? I can be in Christ, but not necessarily have peace. And I'm saying it's possible that for you to be in Christ and not necessarily have peace, because maybe it's a lack of abiding. Maybe it's a lack of dwelling with Him, spending time with Him, really being able to commune with Him. Because look at the promise in Galatians 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Paul is making it very clear. We have to walk by the Spirit. The Spirit and the flesh fight against each other. But if we're walking in the Spirit, notice what he says in verse 22 through 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Now let's put all this together so we can make it understand. Jesus is saying to us, the truth that we've said there, number one there, Jesus promises peace to those who are in him. The only way that we can have this peace is if we're actually in him. We do that by believing in him. Second thing that we're saying is Jesus says that he tells us to abide in him, and if we abide in him, we'll bear fruit. How is it possible for us to get the fruit of peace? Well, he gives us the Holy Spirit when we believe in him. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. So if we're actually going to get peace, we have to abide in Christ to be able to get the fruit. So you say, well, Pastor, I'm believing and I'm in Christ. So let me just say this to you. Fruit takes time. That's not like a light switch where it just kind of pops out. So it's okay if you say, I'm not at peace right now, but I encourage you to make certain that you're actually abiding in him. But let me help you to understand a difference. Two people can live in the same household in a marriage and not be abiding in the relationship. They can be in a relationship, but not be abiding. They cannot be enjoying one another. They cannot be spending time with another, and there is no fruit that's coming as a result of that. In the same way, you may be in a relationship with Christ, but you're not abiding with him. And what's going to happen is you're not going to have the effects of the Spirit of God working in you to be able to exemplify this peace. So if you're in this moment in your walk with Christ and you're not really having peace, then it just becomes very practical that I want to encourage you. My question is, how much are you abiding in him? You need more than just a stream on Sunday mornings. What that means practically for you and for me, it means you just need to spend time with him. You need to just make block time out of your day. Listen, there's no excuses for you right now. None at all. You need to be able to make time. And listen, I just want to challenge you. The things that you're trying to put in place right now while the people are shelter in place, these are things that we should still be doing when we get back to normal life. Being able to spend time with God and lead your families and being in the Word and trying to abide with him more, that shouldn't change when we get back to normalcy. If anything, this should be teaching us what we should have been doing already. And so for us to be able to get at peace, my encouragement to you is make certain that you're actually abiding in him, that you're walking in the Spirit so that God can produce the fruit in your life. Well, that's the first promise. He's telling us very clearly that if we want to have that peace, we can just trust that the Spirit of God is going to work. Look at the supernatural work. You and I can't make peace come out. But you and I can be able to spend time with God, the Holy Spirit who lives in you. When you place faith in Christ, according to Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, it says that when you've heard the gospel, believed in gospel, you were given the Holy Spirit. This promise that he gave in John 16, 33 is done through the Spirit of God who lives in us. And so this word that we teach from, this word that you have, is Spirit inspired. So when I'm sitting with the Lord in the mornings and you're sitting with the Lord whether it's morning or at lunch or in the evening times, you got to trust that the Spirit of God supernaturally can produce this fruit in you. It doesn't happen overnight. Farmers, when they plant crops, they don't go out the next morning and see everything just popping up. It takes time for that fruit to be able to grow, but they have to tend to it. They have to abide, if you will, in their gardens and in their lands to make certain that that fruit's going to come up. You and I, we got to attend to our relationship with the Lord so the fruit of the Spirit can come out in our lives. Well, that's the first promise he gives us in John 16. Go back to John 16. Let me give you the second promise that's here. So Jesus is promising that we can have peace in him. The second promise that he gives us in the midst of this is this. Jesus promises tribulation from the world, but he promises us that he's overcome the world. Now, when we look at this passage of Scripture, you say, that doesn't sound like too much of a great promise that there's going to be tribulation. Listen, I think it's a reality that we need to face. You need to also understand that when you place faith in Christ, there is not this easy believism. There is not this element that just because you believe that everything is going to go smooth. There is going to be tribulation. Look at the text again, John 16, 33. In the world, you will have tribulation. Now, Jesus, let's put it in the context again, speaking specifically to the apostles. After they've scattered and Jesus rises again, they get back together. They are empowered by the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And they literally change the world. They literally go out and they're preaching the gospel. They lose their lives for the sake of the gospel. They become persecuted. Some of them are, Peter's crucified up down. James is beheaded. There are people, these apostles literally face tribulation from the world because of the sake of the gospel. We may not experience that same kind of tribulation. Tribulation may come in different forms. It may just come in trials. It may come just in difficulties. And we're in one right now. in regards to what's happening in our world. But in the midst of all this, though, of all people, we as believers should be shining bright in the midst of the chaos and the darkness to be able to point people to the peace that was promised to us in Christ. Yes, it's going to be tribulation. But let me help you understand something. Tribulation is not associated with lack of faith. In fact, Jesus is saying if we're walking in Him, our faith probably increases the difficulties that we may have. So Jesus, I want you to understand something. It's not the fact that we have these things. It's just because you have lacked faith. It's just the essence of the world that we live in. We live in a sinful, fallen world. And because of the fallenness of Adam and Eve and the sin, the curse of that, there's going to be disease. There's going to be sickness. There's promise that things are going to get difficult, more difficult, even before Jesus returns. But there is good news in this. Jesus said in this, although He's promising us tribulation, He says, I have overcome the world. Now, as you read that and you say, okay, that's good. Well, how has He overcome the world? Well, Jesus is making this promise even before. Get this. Jesus is making this promise even before He has died and risen again. Because He knows the outcome of what's going to take place. He's going to conquer. He's going to win. So He's even saying this almost in a futuristic terms that I have overcome the world. Listen, this goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and the promise when God spoke to the serpent. When Adam and Eve had sinned and God spoke to Adam, He spoke to Eve and He spoke to the serpent. He said, from this woman's seed, there's going to be one that's going to crush your head. Listen, the victory has been promised since the beginning. Jesus has said to us here, I've overcome the world. So I want to say to you, no matter what we're in right now, Jesus will win. He's going to overcome the world. Yes, people may die. Yes, things may get difficult. Yes, jobs may be lost. Yes, things may get in turmoil. But that doesn't remove the victory in Christ. This world is temporary. It's going to pass away. But Christ has overcome it all. He's the victor. He's the one who wins, and He's promised it. Now listen, as I was going back and looking at this passage of Scripture again, and kind of looking through the Greek language, and this truth just stuck out to me, and I want you to get it, because it is so powerful. Because in this passage of Scripture, we read it, and we just say, okay, Jesus says, I have overcome the world, but there's a nugget here I want you to get. In the Greek language, there are times when a pronoun gets introduced before a verb to be able to emphasize a point. For example, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is using almost the emphatic I, meaning it's almost like in the Greek language, there are two I's, the way that we would read it in English. So what Jesus is not just saying, Jesus is not just saying, I've overcome the world. In the Greek, literally, it's like, I have overcome the world. Jesus is making the point that the world can't be victorious. The peace that the world gives can't be victorious. You can't overcome the world. You can't overcome this situation. But Jesus' point is, I have overcome the world. It's Him. It's the victory is in Him. So if we want peace, we have to be in Him. If we want peace over the world, over the tribulation, Jesus is emphasizing to them, I'm the one who's overcome the world. So what does that mean for you and me? We can rest assured that we can have victory as long as we are in Him. I'm going to give you a few verses just to encourage you with. We're going to put them on the screen for you there on your TV so you can have them. You can write them down because it's all connected to the victory that we have. Romans 8, 34 through 37, Paul said these words, who is to condemn? Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors in Christ. Two more verses for you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. John says, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world." Everyone who is in God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Don't miss it. Our faith. Our faith in Christ, believing these truths that we're talking about today here, right here in John chapter 16, verse 33. My faith is believing that I'm going to have tribulation. So listen to me. If you as a believer know that tribulation is coming, it shouldn't rock your world. When you know that difficulties are going to come, you should just simply know Jesus said that's going to happen. Jesus said these things are going to be. Jesus doesn't promise us ease. That's called heaven. As long as we're in this world, there's going to be difficulty. Listen to me, the vast difference. Peace is internal. Tribulation is external. Our peace cannot be connected with what we see, what we hold, what we feel. Our peace has to be rooted in the promise that Christ is in us. And the Spirit of God who's in us can keep us at peace, even if everything around us is taken away. Our eyes have to constantly be placed upon Christ. I want to illustrate to you this way. I coach baseball and softball at times at the Pelican Park. And we always do stretches with the kids before we begin. And I introduce a stretch for kids, and oftentimes I see them fail at it every time. We stretch our hamstrings and we stretch our quads. We pull up our leg and we hold it. What happens is the kids will be looking around just like this. And pretty soon they get wobbly. Even myself looking around. But nevertheless, when I was a kid and I was out in karate class, my sensei, my instructor, gave us a very simple technique. He said, find one place on the ground and keep your eye on the place and pull up your leg. And so that's what we did. You find one place and you hold your leg and you can be still. Try it. Here's the point. You and I might seem off balance. And partially it's because our eyes might be a little bit on Jesus and a little bit on the world. A little bit on Jesus and a lot on the world. If we want peace, we have to keep our eyes locked on Christ. You can't be looking around and trying to be able to walk with Jesus. You got to lock in. Jesus in this promise, in this text, is giving us a promise of peace. And you and I this morning, regardless of where you are, you can have this peace. So what do we do with a text like this? What is the promise that's given to us? Well, I want to give you several things of application. Number one, I want to ask you, have you taken the step of repentance and faith to actually be in Christ? Because until you take that step of faith to be in Christ, then the peace that you have is just temporal. It's temporary. It's things connected to this world. But Jesus has given an invitation to you this morning that you can be able to say, I believe that he is the Christ, just like it says in John 1:12. I believe he is the Son of God. I repent of sins and I place faith in him. And if you genuinely do that, God promises to make you his child. He promises to place the Spirit of God in you and you become in him. And the promise then, from what we've learned about today, is that even though things are out of control, God is promising he can place his peace within you. If that's something you want to do, then I encourage you to send us a message. Send it to my email that we put there at the beginning. Send us an email, say, hey, I want to make this commitment, or I want to talk about this commitment. Send it to me or send it to Andrew so we can be able to know, or put it in that prayer request box. It's on that stream check-in box so we can be able to know to talk to you about that. Second point of application is this. If you are a believer and you don't feel peace right now, then believe the truth that God is in control even if you don't feel that he's in control. Acknowledge it that you may not be at peace, but then just believe it. Hold true to what God has said. Third point of application. Maybe you are keeping your eyes on Christ. Then I want to encourage you to keep abiding in Jesus until the Spirit of God produces the fruit of peace in your life. Don't give up. Keep abiding. Keep your eyes locked in on Jesus so that he can give the peace to you that he promises us right here in John 16. Fourth application is this. You say, Pastor, I'm in peace. I'm at peace and everything is okay. Then my encouragement to you is this. Stay keeping your eyes on Jesus. Don't turn your eyes off, because you'll stay at peace for a while, but then you'll start listening to the noise of the world. So if you're at peace and you're abiding in Christ, my encouragement to you is just keep running the race. Keep abiding in Christ so that Christ can keep your heart at peace in him. And lastly, my last challenge to you is this. If you are in peace, and you are abiding in Christ, and you're meeting with God, and God is producing that fruit of the Spirit of peace in your life, my encouragement to you would be what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the sons of God. Be a peacemaker. We don't be peacemakers so that we can become sons of God. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that if we are peacemakers, that's the evidence of what it's like to be a son of God. There are people who are not at peace. And so my challenge to you right now, today, tomorrow, this week, God put someone in your path that's not at peace, then God is sending you in their path for a reason. You can point them to these very truths and let them know what Jesus said in John 16, 33. Jesus said, in me you can have peace. Take heart, I've overcome the world. So be a peacemaker, Redemption Church. Wherever you go in this midst of this time, whatever you post, whatever your conversations are, point people to the God of peace. Because God's in control and he can promise us peace in the midst of things when it's out of control. So I'm going to ask you, we're going to take some time just to respond right now to this text. Our musicians are going to come and they're going to play, and it's time for you right there in your home, right there in your car, wherever you are, to be able to respond to these truths. So again, are you at peace? Have you placed faith in Christ to be at peace? Believer, are you in peace? Are you abiding in Christ so that you can be able to have the peace that Christ promised? So I'm going to pray for us. And as I pray for us, then we're just going to take some time. They're just going to play. And I encourage you just right there in your home that you'll take the time to respond and obey what God has called you to do. If you need to place faith in Christ, choose him. Respond to him. But if you're acknowledging that you're just struggling with peace, admit that to God and allow him to begin to work in you. And then if you just look at your own life and say, Pastor, I'm not abiding. I need to do that. Then I challenge you today to make those changes. Father, as we've heard from your word this morning, thank you. Thank you, God, that even though the world around us is filled with difficult time, thank you, Jesus, that you promised peace. God, I don't know every person's thoughts, their worries, or their anxieties. And their anxiety and their worry may be completely different than what's going on with COVID-19. Maybe they've got some news about a family member that's sick or it's passed away. Maybe they've got news of a diagnosis that they weren't expecting. Maybe they got news about some family struggle or difficulty. God, whatever the tribulation or the difficult time is that we're going through, your promise is still the same. In me, there is peace. So God, today, would you meet your people wherever they are? For those who are listening today who have not repented and believed in you, and they've just experienced the world's peace, and they're empty, they're broken, and they need more. And in this moment today, you've spoken to their heart, you've reached into them through these internet means, and you've given hope to them. You've shown them that if they would repent and believe in your Son Jesus, that you could give them peace that comes only from you. God, I ask you for those in who are listening, who are in you, but haven't really been abiding in you, and they're not experiencing peace. God, draw them to you. Help them to make changes they need to make to be able to make time to spend with you, so the Spirit of God who's in them can help them experience peace. God, for believers who are at peace, help them to keep their eyes on you. And then God, I pray for those who are at peace, help us to be peacemakers. For those who are wrestling and struggling, help us to point people to the God of hope and the God of peace. So now, Lord, just speak to our hearts. Help us to do whatever we need to do in this moment. Because our musicians will continue to play, I encourage you, right where you are, just to do what the Spirit of God has called you to do. After a period of time of prayer, I'll pray for us. But right now, I encourage you, meet with God and answer His Spirit, whatever He's spoken for you to do.